Well, it's called Dreaming Heaven, Seeking the Truth. And we'll be back with Lee McCormick in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest tonight, Lee McCormick, the founder of the Integrative Life Center in Nashville, the Ranch Recovery Center in Tennessee, and the Canyon Treatment Center in Malibu, California. He's been a creative force in the mental health and recovery scene for more than 15 years, founder of Nashville's Integrative Life Center. And of course, he is one of the producer directors of the documentary Dreaming Heaven, experiencing stories of some 18 people over several days in Central America. Lee, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm okay. Good morning, or whatever it is.
Wherever you may be. Now, you're in Nashville now, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. I'm on my ranch. I'm just west of Nashville.
Tell me a little bit more about yourself, other than the bio.
Oh, well, where do I start? My journey as it relates to what we're talking about this evening really began when I was 40 years old and I checked myself into a treatment center. And I started the process of really questioning everything. You know, what am I about? What's my life about? Mm-hmm. What's really going on in this world? What are we doing here? So, you know, my experience when I got into what we call recovery really quickly became about the big picture as much as it did about my personal life. And one thing led to another. I got really interested in a lot of esoteric, I guess you could say, practices. I started reading every book I could get my hands on. And, you know, one thing led to another. I ended up connecting with Don Miguel Ruiz and some of his teachers. This was 15 years ago, and went to Teotihuacan on a journey and just had such a life-changing experience that first time that I literally have never stopped going back.
It started late then for you at 40 years old. That's pretty late coming, and it really this issue, your personal issue, that really was the catalyst for this. Prior to that, did you ever have the thoughts of who are we? What are we doing here?
You know, absolutely I did. You know, I think what happens with us, or what happened with me anyway, is I kept trying to make sense of things. I kept pursuing what I was told or taught as a kid that we're supposed to pursue. I really did my best to make things work, and I worked hard, and I accomplished a lot. I was commodities trader and a rancher, and you know, I had been a professional musician since I was 17 years old, and moved to Nashville with a band. Spent several years on the road.
That's the place to be in the music business, that's for sure, huh?
Well, yeah, especially in the country music business. Yep. When you talk like I do, man, you got to move to Nashville.
Sure do.
But yeah, of course I question things, but you know, in our culture, at least in the 70s and 80s, you know, questioning things was okay on the surface, but there's such a push to become a part of the deal, you know, part of society, part of what's happening, to make your mark as such, that you give it a little bit of time and a little bit of attention, but for the most part, your life is about moving forward and trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
You know, and so it really didn't get any depth to it until I'd made a complete mess out of myself, which actually turned out to be a really amazing opportunity. And that's just how the opportunity happened to come.
You were fortunate that you had that vision to pull yourself out of it. A lot of people, Lee, probably don't, and they get trapped. They get stuck, don't they?
Yeah, a lot of people do. You know, again, I think these days the perspectives on personal healing and personal transformation and what's possible in our life, those perspectives have certainly evolved a lot over the last 30 years. You know, I think they've evolved a lot over the last 10 years.
I haven't seen a time where right now I think more people seem so mixed up, so lost, than ever before. Do you sense that?
Yeah, I do. You know, I think we're seeing all kinds of extremes. What if I had to make up a story about it, I'd have to say that whatever we have going on inside of us, whether it's unresolved issues or you know, dreams, ideas, frustrations, whatever's going on inside of us is really being magnified these days. And that seems to be, in my experience, how life works, you know. And it's, I think it's also unique to this time, this last 10 or 12 years, that, you know, when what we're carrying inside of us is really being pushed on and really being magnified, there's no way to get away from it. And then in the external sense, the culture that we live in and the world that we live in, the old systems that have been in place forever, that, you know, the systems that we live with in this world have evolved, but they've still tried to maintain the same consciousness as such, it appears to me. And now the systems are starting to break down. The places that we've been living life from are no longer really working. It's no longer, you can't just ignore it. You can't just excuse it. There's just literally big gaps between the official story and what we're seeing as reality. And, you know, again, I think that's a huge opportunity.
Tell me about dreaming heaven and the concept behind it.
Dreaming heaven literally came about as a result of a conversation that I had with Dana Walden, who is Dana was really instrumental in almost every aspect of the project. He was a cameraman, he was a director, he was a producer.
Did it Dana all.
We put the soundtrack together. And Dana and I were sitting at my house. I lived on the West Coast. I lived back and forth on the West Coast off and on. And we were sitting at my house talking about a journey to Teotihuacan that was coming up that I was co-leading with Jenny Gentry and Frank Hayhurst, who are also in the film as the guides with myself. And Dana said, you know, it'd be interesting to film one of these journeys and just see what happens. And I thought that was an interesting idea because the context of what we experience in Teotihuacan is literally the energy and the presence of the light, what we call the light there. It's more than just the literal sunlight. It's the energy of the land and the structures and the consciousness that's anchored there. And I thought it would be interesting to see if that could translate through film. So we put a couple people together and we filmed the journey. There weren't any expectations of it turning into a film, really. It was just kind of an elaborate home movie. That's what we intended to do. And then we shot it and came back to LA with it. And it sat around for a while. Maybe a year later, I ran into a guy named Straw Wiseman, who was one of the principals in What the Bleep Do We Know.
Okay.
And Straw was interested to see the footage, so he watched it, and he called me and said, man, this is really good, and you might want to go ahead and complete this project, you know, finish this film. So we started working on it, and it's 5 years later. The film's actually been finished for a year, you know, and we wrote a book after screening the film several times.
Called Dreaming Heaven, right? The book?
Yeah, Dreaming Heaven. After screening Dreaming Heaven several times in film festivals and just, you know, with groups of people around the country, the feedback we got consistently was, God, it'd be great if there was a book to go with this because the film is so moving and so inspiring, and I'd like to go deeper into it. That's what we got over and over again as a response from the audiences. So we got back together and wrote a book. And the book is Dreaming Heaven, The Beginning is Near. And we got a deal about a year ago with Agape Media and Hay House. And so what we did is just packaged it all together, which is something I've never seen before. I've never seen a book with a film and a meditation download and a soundtrack all one pack.
All tossed
so Dreaming Heaven
world.
Rapidly became, it just took on a life of its own.
And the thrust is primarily to get people to understand where they're headed in life?
You know, yeah, in a way it is. There's a lot of aspects to this, just like there's a lot of aspects to what we are, really. What the film does is it shows in a very intimate way, in a very real way, an absolutely real way, a group of people living a very deep personal experience on a spiritual journey, which, again, is something I've never seen. You know, we all talk about transformation and healing, and we talk about shamanic work or just personal evolution work. But I have never seen a film that was solely focused on people actually doing it, just everyday people on a journey. So the film is very unique in that regard, that you get an opportunity to see a group of people living the kind of experience that has, in Dreaming Heaven's case, the experience has been going on for thousands of years, and it's, you know, it's people just like you and me.
These people, the people on the journey, at the outset, were they in trouble? Were they misguided? Were they frustrated with life? What kind of folks were they?
You know, excuse me, it was all kinds of people. There's an attorney, a civil rights attorney from New York. There's a contractor from Santa Fe. There's an electrician from Santa Fe. There was a writer from Los Angeles, a realtor from Arizona. So it's a real cross-section of people. And, yeah, I mean, clearly all of them had some question or some issue. They had some motivating factor in their life that led them to want to go deeper or want to look at their life from a trying to find a new perspective or a, you know, another perspective to look at where they were at in their life. You know, all of them, maybe not all of them, most of them were living relatively happy lives. And they just, I think like a lot of us, they just weren't completely satisfied.
Yeah, they were missing something, weren't they, Lee?
Exactly. Yeah. So they were looking for something more. And, you know, they chose to make that leap, as we put it. They chose to do something about it, then do something real about it, get on a plane and fly to Mexico City and meet us and spend 5 days in Teotihuacan.
And in that region, did you select it specifically because of the, you know, the ancient myths and mysteries that surrounded the place?
Well, for me, it was a no-brainer because it's the place that really opened me up personally to a far more expansive relationship to life, a far greater perspective on what we call reality. And Teotihuacan has for that literally thousands of years. The city itself began around 2,000 years ago, but that location, the caves under the Pyramid of the Sun, and that geographic area has been a place of human healing and transformation for thousands of years. So there's quite a legacy and a history and an amazing energetic and consciousness that's literally anchored in that area and in that place. And then when the city was constructed, it was built as a process for human transformation. And that's what you see in the movie Dreaming Heaven is that experience literally happening in real time with folks that are in the film.
Did anybody experience such a mystical event that it just blew everybody's mind?
Yeah, I think so. There's happened? Definitely a couple scenes in that film where it, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, were you guys doing ayahuasca or eating peyote or doing some kind of a medicine plant? But we don't at all. It's absolutely not necessary. So yeah, there are a couple ceremonies in the film where you see people who literally expand, and go so far beyond the construct of how we have been taught to frame our reality that they have an experience of just how huge and how interconnected we really are to all of creation. So they have their, everyone on that journey had their version of what they needed to have happen in order to bring greater clarity or awareness or motivation into their life. But there were a few people that really had big expansive experiences, and it's obvious in the film.
How did they find it, Lee, by merely being there? I mean, what happened to them?
You know, part of it is that we hold our lives so tightly. And I say this after years of unraveling myself and taking myself apart mm-hmm. continuously. You know, I don't think we're really necessarily aware of it, of how tightly we hold ourselves together and our reality together, our beliefs together. We're really wrapped tight. And when you go into a space like Teotihuacan, and there's, you don't have to go to Mexico for this to happen. It's just that
you could do it anywhere, right?
Yeah, I think you can. And you know, we humans are incredibly powerful beings. And when you have 3,000 or 4,000 years of continuous energetic practice happening in one place, then it builds an energetic that remains there. And that's what happens when you come into Teotihuacan. You're entering into an existing energetic that when we as energetic beings move into that space, it really supports our expansion, for lack of a better word, so that we move beyond our belief system. We move beyond the limitations of how we have wrapped ourselves up as a definition, you know, as the roles that we live, as the beliefs that we hold. And once we get beyond those self-imposed limitations, we literally have a much greater experience of what we really are. And that's what you see revealed in the film. And then that's also what we speak to in the book, in the practices in the book. You know, it's not that we're becoming something else. And it's not that we're becoming somebody else. It's that we literally move back into the full awareness of what we really are and have always been.
When you were out there videotaping people, did you experience anything in you collectively? Anything mystical? Anything very bizarre happen?
And, you know, what I call bizarre today is different than what it was 15 years ago.
Yeah, really.
You know, it's kind of a new normal. Well, always leading the journeys, we're a part of what's going on also. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if you jump in the bowl with the goldfish, you get wet. So, every journey and every moment, we're all in the same energetic and, we're all right there together. So, yeah, but what you learn as you live this way, as you come and go from Teo, and I've been doing it continuously for 15 years, I have a home there now. What you learn is that, you know, we can be in an incredibly expanded state. We can really broaden our awareness. And as we say, you're in two places at once. I can be completely present in my physical body, walking down the Avenue of the Dead, and also be fully aware of what I would call other realms.
We're going to talk about these other realms with you, Lee, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. There are some interdimensional beings involved in this. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Ghost to Ghost, this is going to be Thursday, of course, on Halloween night, October 31st. We're looking for 4 hours of open lines and ghost stories. And in addition to your calls, those of you who may not be able to get in because we get flooded with calls, I want to give you an email where now you can send your story, name, and phone number in case we want to call and get you on if you've got a great story. It would be a shame if you can't get through. GhostStories@CoastToCoastAM.com. GhostStories@CoastToCoastAM.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Lee McCormick with us, Dreaming Heaven. Lee, tell us a little bit about this interdimensional, multidimensional experience in some of these beings? What happened out there?
Well, it's this world that we live in and the reality that we live in, and what we are is multidimensional. You know, we don't really know what we are. We believe a lot of things about ourselves and about what life is, about what we, you know, what we call reality. And my experience has been over the last 15 years, and even before that, you know, now that I've spent years focusing on a broader natured reality, I realized that as a kid, there was, it was going on. It's going on all the time. It's literally the nature of this creation, that it's multidimensional. And in Teotihuacan, there's layers of consciousness. There are layers of, it's like a fabric woven together. You know, when I'm trying to explain it to people, I'll say it's a lot like your radio dial, that if you're listening to 99 on your radio dial, and you listen to it long enough, you'll believe that that's the only channel out there. And then if you shift it to 102.5, you pick up a whole other frequency. And that's been my experience of what this reality is actually about. And it's really up to us to, if we're interested, it's up to us to allow the consciousness that we are to expand beyond the particular perspectives and points of view and the way that we have been taught to characterize reality. It's up to us to expand beyond that, to allow ourselves to loosen up a little bit, literally lighten up a little bit. And in Teotihuacan, that experience is so palpable and so present that I've seen a lot of people over the years who have never had any kind of a spiritual experience, if you want to call it that, that they would acknowledge. You know, they've never had any kind of a mystical experience, and they'll just have profound things happen. And it's really across the board because, you know, each of us is unique. And we all have our own history. We all have our own relationships. We all have connections to what I would just call the beings. To the other presences, the other characters that that make up the other dimensions of this reality.
Did you see a dramatic change with the people who went out there?
Oh, absolutely. And you can literally see it in the film. You can, as you watch this film and as you watch us progress through the 4 days in Teotihuacan, you see literally people's faces change, the way they carry themselves changes, because they're literally shifting energetically. The frequency that we are a frequency of light. And so as we have lived through our lives in this world, we take on a lot of energy. We take on a lot of baggage, emotional baggage, you know, intellectual baggage, and we learn and develop the ability to carry literally a lot of weight around with us, energetic weight. And as you move through the experience in Dreaming Heaven, and you move through an experience like what happens in Teotihuacan and what you see in that film, we retune ourselves. I think as we clean ourselves, we come back into balance. We come back into the authentic frequency and the authentic consciousness that we really are and have always been. And we lose our relationship with that and with how that feels and with that broader awareness over the course of a life that's lived literally layering belief after belief and role after role and wrapping ourselves up in all that stuff. So you definitely see the transition and the transformation in the people in the film.
Was there a lot of meditation going on out there, Lee?
Yeah, you know, it's not classic meditation. In our practice, in the Toltec practice, what is I guess the equivalent of meditation is something that we call dreaming. It's a version or a style of what you could call meditation. We will do a lot of practices during the course of the days that we're there with your eyes closed, to shift our attention away from being focused on the world to being present with the experience of what's going on within us, which is literally where our reality exists, you know, to a large degree anyway. It's all within us. So we will regularly ask people to close their eyes and to bring their attention into what they're experiencing, what they're feeling, what might be being revealed on the inside. That if we keep our eyes open, our mind is so accustomed to being focused on the world, and our consciousness and our senses are so accustomed to being focused on the world, that with our eyes open, we follow those patterns that are so familiar to us.
Lee, I'm fascinated. Go ahead.
No, just as you shift your attention to the inside and you close your eyes, you literally, it enables us to be more aware on a different level than living life from the external in. You live from the inside out.
I'm fascinated with the collective mind. And when these people were out there, did they do anything? Did they pool their mental resources for a common cause?
No, not really. I think what you're speaking to is something that possibly comes later. You know, I think our first responsibility as human beings in this world, especially these days, is to clean ourselves and to rebalance ourselves and to heal ourselves. You know, we're in this world for a reason, I believe. And I believe that our loyalties have been misdirected, in that we're taught that our primary responsibility is to take on the beliefs of the world and then live out based on those beliefs, you know, our life, do the best we can to live up to the expectations, do the best we can to live up to the roles that we inherit or the roles that we choose to take on. And so our loyalty, our first loyalty is really to the external world. And our greatest gifts and the truth of what we really are is within us. So I believe that our mission is to clean ourselves, that to clean this legacy that we inherit that's become such a mess, to realign our intention and realign our attention with the unique expression of life that each of us is, that's really deeply seated within us. And so the journeys to Teotihuacan on the level that Dreaming Heaven reflects are really about that personal journey of cleansing, of healing, of clarity, of rebalancing on an individual level. Now, the people in the film, and you'll see this in the film, the people in the film are regularly having an experience of the mystery, as I call it. They're regularly having an experience of the other side of this world, which is the infinite. It really can't be described in words. You know, on a regular basis, I'll have people have this amazing experience, and they'll come back into their body, and they'll say, oh, my God, everything is there. Everything is here. Everything is within us, and it's all nothing. Which doesn't make any sense to you if you've never had that experience, but it's like the most freeing, amazing, loving, brilliant experience you've ever had in this world, and yet it has absolutely nothing to do with how we've been taught to value and categorize and define life based on the way that we're acculturated.
Did everybody experience an out-of-body experience?
No, not everybody does.
Okay.
Again, you know, it's really an individualized journey. So each person has the experience that's going to serve them. Part of our mission, I believe, part of our responsibility as human beings, you know, we're in a body for a reason. We have a physical body for a reason. And our responsibility is to be in these bodies and yet not be bound by the legacies and the limiting beliefs and all the heavy energy and the fears and the pain and suffering and misery and judgment, all that stuff that we inherited when we were born into this world. And at the same time, we are so much more than that. And when we honestly and sincerely really give 100% to wanting to experience something greater than what we know, we realize that we are a lot more than what we've ever believed, and that our life and our presence as a human being is far greater than what we've been taught to believe. And you know, that's something that I believe is our calling, to embody in physical form, not leave the physical form, not go out, you know, not bliss out into the cosmos somewhere, but to bring that back and live from that place in our physical body and in this world. That's how, from my experience, that's how we change the world we live in, is by living the most authentic, most centered life that we can bring into this world through our form.
When you talk about dreaming heaven, is it something that you think truly is real, or is it something that's in our minds?
Both. It depends on the nature of how you define heaven. For most of us that have a Christian type background, you know, heaven is someplace that you go if you're good when you die. From the Toltec perspective, from the perspective of the film Dreaming Heaven in the book, heaven is a state of consciousness. It's the experience of life, free from judgment, free from fear, free from, again, all of the ways that we've been taught to identify and characterize ourselves in reality. It's really based in limitation, based in fear, based in judgment, you know, based in those energies that seem to be driving our world. And so the experience of heaven is literally the experience of what we really are when we're free from all this baggage.
Can we really free ourselves from this baggage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. You can have the experience of it. Now, having the experience of it, and that experience will stay with you for some time. And what happens is we come back into the world we live in, and it's literally like you go back into the day-to-day reality, what we call the dream of the planet. You go back into the day-to-day world, and the presence of it, the frequency of the world that we live in, is so powerful, and it's so pervasive that over a period of time, unless you have developed a way to, on a daily basis or on a regular basis anyway, retune yourself, recalibrate yourself, reconnect to the light, reconnect to your center, unless you're doing that, it just kind of drags you down. You know, you could say you lose your buzz.
A lot of lost souls out there, though, huh? A lot of lost people.
Oh, yeah. There are. You know, I don't make any claims to have a big picture clue of what's going on in this world. I know what goes on within me. And I know what goes on in the context of people that I come in contact with. But, you know, I don't attempt to say what's happening here on a overall context of, you know, where's humanity heading, what's humanity doing. What I know is that we continue to live the same things over and over again until we wake up to the fact that, for the most part, it's just us doing it to us.
Will we ever get to that point where it's just too late and we can't turn things around?
Yeah, you know, who knows? I don't know. Some, you know, on a bad day, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
And on a good day, I'd say, you know, because we're so much more than anything we understand. that I wouldn't want to make that call, really. Now, I think we can certainly push this physical world to the point to where, and we're starting to see that today. You know, we have epidemics of autoimmune diseases and cancers, and there's all kinds of consequences that are happening to us in a physical sense and in an emotional sense. There's all kinds of consequences happening today based on the environmental factors that we have perpetrated, you know, that humans have perpetrated in this world. And those consequences are just now really beginning to be acknowledged. It's been going on for some time. But there are epidemics like we've never seen before, and it's all self-perpetuated. It's us doing it ourselves.
It seems like it's busting at the seams, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. You know, and again, when I reflect this back on my personal life and what I've experienced, you know, it took a lot of suffering, and it took me literally making a wreck out of my life before I woke up to the fact that it was me doing it. You know, I was raised in a world where, for the most part, we don't really take deep personal responsibility for our choices, for our reality. It's always about somebody's doing it to us. Or, you know, it's always somebody or something else's fault.
Somebody else's doing it, sure.
You know, you can just look at the systems today. Look at the political system today. Everything is the other guy's fault. Well, it's not. Not at all. It's our collective fault. It's our collective issue. And, you know, maybe when it gets ugly enough and gets painful enough, we will actually begin to question where we'll find the real answers. And the real answers are going to be in questioning, why are we doing things the way we're doing them? You know, it's difficult to bring a new paradigm into your life and into your reality as long as you're desperately clinging to what you think you know. And we're not there yet. You know, some individuals clearly are, but collectively as a society, I don't think we've gotten there yet, but there's certainly a lot going on. There's more happening these days than I've ever seen.
There's a lot going on these days, Lee. The name of the work, of course, Dreaming Heaven. It's in book form and a DVD as well. And then there's some meditation guides there for you. Lee, thank you so much. I shall be back in a moment with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM.